Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Go Live. I'm Ken English and I'm in Miami, Florida. This is another edition of a program focused on the water side, both above and below the surface. Eco Lounge is a production of the Blog Talk Radio Guy, that's me. It's my show. It's the show that I like to do on a Wednesday afternoon to talk about a variety of issues and things, and not so much the issues in terms of controversy, but just the content of a variety of internet radio programs on the Blog Talk Radio platform that I'm doing. I just finished one that really is quite fascinating. It's called The Hypnotist Show. I do the show, I'm the producer of it, I'm not the host. I just make sure that it gets online and continues without any problems. I bring it up on my computer screen, and I got the control panel. A control panel is really quite nice these days because not only does it tell you who's the callers and when they're on the line, but it also lays out the basic files that are available to play, the music, interviews, and the like. And it also has a tweet function now so that I can tweet out to the people who are on my contact list on Twitter and let them know that the show is going on and who the guests are and what's taking place. The Hypnotist Show began last Wednesday, and it runs every day at 10 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com. The show is hosted by Elsom Eldridge, Jr. Elsom is a trained, certified consulting hypnotist. He's also one of the organizers of the National Guild of Hypnotists annual convention, which takes place August 7th through the 9th in Marlboro, Massachusetts. And what Elsom has done is line up callers each day, a different certified consulting hypnotist, and they call in and talk about themselves, how they got involved in hypnotism, how they got involved in the career path that they're on right now. They're all speakers at the upcoming convention. There's more than 200, so obviously we got a lot of days that we can cover if we had them all. But leading up to the convention at 10 a.m. each day, you could check out some insight. You know, it really is an insightful show. It deals with the mind, the power of the mind, something that we all learn as we get older, how important the mind is, but we really don't know that until sometimes it's almost too late. Of course, it's never too late until you actually die, but if you don't discover it until you're 60 or 70, you've had a pretty rough road to hoe, as the expression says, the road to hoe, if you didn't learn it early on. Today's guest was really quite fascinating. A woman by the name of Julie Gerland called in from southern France. She was in France. Elsom Eldridge, Jr. is in Orlando, Florida. I'm in Miami. We connect through a phone and computer system up in New York. And one of Julie's friends, whom she hasn't seen in years, but they've been in email contact, he's in Australia. He was listening. There were people from around the world. There were 38 people listening to the show live in various countries around the world. There'll be many more who listen to the archived program. One of the guests on the Hypnotist Show earlier this week has now had 117 people listen to the archived show. So not only is it great as a communication tool live right now, wherever you may be, but it also allows the opportunity for somebody to listen on demand when they want to, because it's archived, it's recorded, it's an MP3 file. You can subscribe to an RSS feed. You can be notified by Twitter. You can find the information on Facebook. A lot of great social media tools. One of the guests that I've had on not only this show, but I do a weekly show every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. in Eastern Coast Time, Eastern Daylight Time, with Dr. Ron Capps. Dr. Capps is known as the niche prof in the internet marketing world because he has developed over the last several years not only an expertise and a reputation for understanding social media, but a great laid-back communication style. So every Sunday at 12:30, we chat. We talk a little bit about social media, what's happened in the past week, what's going on in the world of the internet. A lot of changes, as Dr. Capps likes to point out, you know, it is a constantly evolving medium, so every day there's something a little bit new that's taking place. New search engine capabilities. Not too long ago, MSN or Microsoft launched what they call Bing, B-I-N-G, as a search engine. Google still has the lion's share of the search activity, more than 70%, but the numbers are so massive that 10 or 15% share, as Bing is now reputed to have, is about 15%. I mean, that's hundreds of thousands, that's millions of people are using that system. So if you haven't, check out bing.com. It's a unique user interface. It lays out differently. It returns information a little bit differently. They all use different algorithms. So consequently, the results in Google, Bing, Yahoo, and the other search engines, they're all returning slightly different results. And that's what makes search engine optimization such a challenge, because you can rank real good for Google and not appear at all in Yahoo. So you have to tweak it, and you have to pay attention to what's going on, and that's what Dr. Capps talks a lot about, is the social implications, the social applications of the internet these days. Started with, as he pointed out to me one day, it started really with classmates back a few years ago, then the evolution of and the phenomenon of MySpace, which is now taken not so much a backseat because there's still millions of users, but it's not as well known as Facebook. Facebook is 150 million plus users now. The numbers are just growing dramatically. The new kid on the block, though, is Twitter. And Twitter has a very unique feel to it, if you use that term for internet communication. It's not the quantity of the people who are following you or you're following. It's really the quality. And once you get past that, once you get beyond the numbers game, you recognize that there's a great tool at your disposal to communicate with people, people who have a common interest, people who think like you do, or people who think opposite you if that's the kind of information you want to get. But once you find people who are posting information, what you'll find is they're not just posting information for the sake of having something online. They're genuinely trying to help you learn something. Maybe they're trying to persuade you, but they're going to take you somewhere via a link that's going to, in all likelihood, bring you into a new area of information. I've been fascinated at the end result of clicking on some links. And you really, it's kind of like Alice in Wonderland in some respects, because you really don't know where you're going, because most of the posts now are URL shorteners. So they're Tiny URL, they're Bud URL, and several others that are out there. So when you click through, you're hoping that you go to someplace that's interesting. And most times, particularly if you know who's posting the information, it's a very good place to go. The hypnotist information that's out there leading you to people who are involved with the mind really is a different world. And sometimes you got to be a little older, I suppose, to really appreciate it and understand it. But you don't have to be, you know, 50 or 60 to know that your mind influences everything. But if you delve a little bit deeper, you study it a little bit more, you recognize that the mind not only influences your day-to-day activity now, but it influences the activity because of things that happened many years ago. Today's guest on the Hypnotist Show, and I think I started, but I got off on a tangent, Julie Gerlin, her expertise now is the first nine months of life. And for most people, you'll start to think about that from the time of birth and the following 9 months. Well, her research and her study over the course of her career and the people that she associates with suggests that life begins at conception, and at that time, the mind, the subconscious mind, starts to interpret the world around it. And so the first 9 months really are in the womb. They're before coming into the real world, if you will. But the real world starts at that point. So the mother and the father and the world around the parents are influencing and shaping the child before the child is even visible. It's a message to all parents that you are influencing your child before you even think you are. One of the shows that I'm doing is with a Southern California hypnotist by the name of Lawrence Miller. Lawrence Miller is the founder of the School for Hypnosis in Temecula, California, part of the Hypnosis Center of Southern California. The School for Hypnosis is a certification school, I guess is the best word, that shows people how to use hypnosis in a professional capacity. One of the images that always comes up when people talk about hypnotism and hypnotists is the image of a stage hypnotist. Most of us have seen a stage hypnotist in action, whether it be on YouTube, and there's many videos along those lines, or sometimes in person. It could be in Las Vegas, it could be at a convention. Many times, the audience watches people that they know, the things that they think are embarrassing, and so we put up barriers. We really don't want to be hypnotized because we think we're going to lose control. But the hypnotists are quick to point out that you can't be told to do something that goes against your nature, that you aren't always in control, you're just being influenced. And that's what a consulting hypnotist is, a guide. They are helping you to understand your own psychology or psyche, if you will. And one of the things that constantly is pointed out now as I listen to more and more of the hypnotists is that the subconscious mind interprets as a child the surroundings and the activities that go on. So consequently, what you're finding is that in the decisions you're making today as an adult are oftentimes based on information that was processed when you were in grade school. Personally, I've got experiences now that I've thought about that hadn't thought about in 50 years that go back to grade school that told me I couldn't do something. Singing is one that it's my favorite one now that I keep bringing up, but I mean, there are others. But the bottom line is in a grade school class in probably fourth or fifth grade at a Catholic school in St. Louis, Missouri, a nun would come up to my desk every day, every time we would have music class a couple times a week, I suppose, and tap her ruler on my desk and wave her finger and just shush me, tell me that I couldn't sing. So therefore, I never wanted to sing, even though my father was very good at it. I probably could have, but I just never did because I was told by an authority figure that I could not do it. And thinking back, there are many other teachers and well-meaning teachers, I'm sure, at the time, who thought they were doing me a service or my friends a service by telling us things that we could not do, that we would not amount to certain things, that we were unable to do these things because of physical or mental limitations. I remember back in the 60s when I was going, this actually would have been in the 50s, going to the grade school and then into high school, it was a tracking mechanism. It was either you're going to go to college, your college material, or you're not college material and you better learn a skill, a trade school activity. Well, many of my friends who went to trade school who weren't college material did far better in their career and their life than my friends that did go on to college. College is not a guarantee particularly in this economy, people recognize that a college degree isn't all that it's meant to be. It was meant to be a key to success, the gateway to the future. And while it certainly, through education, is no doubt a benefit, it's also one of those things that you can be overeducated when a job market gets too tight. You can be educated in the wrong areas when people want to hire for something else. The internet is a tremendous example of how things have changed. 10 years ago, this, what I'm doing right now, was impossible, even as close as 4 years ago. Because in August of 2006, this concept, Blog Talk Radio, began. Alan Levy, the founder of the company, was blogging. You know, blogging was around at that point, text-based blogging. He was communicating to family and friends about the deteriorating health of his father, and had the thought in conversation with friends of his and business associates that there might be a better way of communicating. And they were able to put together the technology of the day, 2006, such a long time ago, the telephone and the blogging. And in August of 2006, they launched blogtalkradio.com. And what it did for people in the very beginning was give them a channel, an opportunity to get on the telephone and to talk. Whether there's an audience or not, it's up to you to build it. It's up to you to communicate a message that's strong enough for people to listen to and be interested in. If you don't do that, there is no audience. But the beauty of the platform, the way technology has evolved, the way Web 2.0 has come to the foreground, is that this program, right now the one I'm doing, is being recorded. It'll be archived. It's an MP3 file. It'll be available for download if somebody wants to listen to it in a week, a month, or maybe a year. It'll be available through search keywording, topics that I will talk about, and people that will be on the show from time to time are all included in the keywords. And the amazing part is that they come up on the first page of Google in many situations. I've begun to use the slogan, you can talk your way to the top of Google. And it's surprising how many times that has happened. Using, for example, Lawrence Miller and the School for Hypnosis in California, in Temecula, it's very challenging to rank well for hypnosis certification in California. It's a big state. There's a lot of people doing certification programs. But if you go Google hypnosis certification California, on the first page in the top 10 is a Blog Talk Radio program that Mr. Miller and I did in early July. And so we're developing a series of programs that are going to be utilizing his expertise, more than 20 years as a certified hypnotist and a teacher now. He just completed the summer session at the School for Hypnosis, and we're working on the January school, which is going to be expanded a little bit. An interesting sidebar, I guess, that I'm going to go off on now right now, is that Temecula in Southern California is in the wine country. And living in Miami, I really didn't know there was wine country in Southern California, so I started to do a little research when Mr. Miller and I first started talking. And I found it to be a very beautiful and historic area. Well, many of the wineries, or several of the wineries, I guess I should put it that way, have accommodations on site. Conference centers, bed and breakfast, small hotel, but overnight accommodations. A couple of them actually have a conference center. So that's going to be the plan for January of 2010, to have the next certification conference or certification class at one of the wineries that has a conference center. So it's really a certification vacation, an opportunity for people who have an interest in becoming a certified hypnotist. Go to Southern California in January, a nice time of the year to get away from the Midwest and the Northeast. You go to Southern California for 9 days and come away with a career. In the course of those 9 days, you'll learn hypnosis, the business side of hypnosis, the opportunities that you have to set up a practice as a consulting hypnotist. Reflecting back to the hypnotist show on Blog Talk Radio, I've listened now to seven different speakers, each having a different area of expertise. Yesterday it was a hypnotist who works with athletes. He was with several of the gold medal winners at the Olympics in China. His clients that he was with were trap shooters. You know, and so many different sports, so many different elements of the Olympics really don't receive any visibility. We watched Michael Phelps swim. We watched other competitors take the television screen over the track and field. But off in the side someplace, people from around the world were shooting at clay figures as they streaked across the sky. And they were the best. And they are the best in the world, and they're competing for a gold medal as well. Well, the consulting hypnotist from Pittsburgh was working with several people, one of whom became the gold medal shooter at the Olympics in China. And he talked about working with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Penguins and other sports personalities and teams because it's a very important element. Mind over matter, well, I suppose that's one way you can look at it, but it certainly is a mental element. When you believe you can achieve, you, in all likelihood, will achieve. If you don't think you can do it, you're right, you won't do it. So there's a lot of different things that are taking place. One of the areas that Eco Lounge is involved with is the Eco Guide series. The Eco Guide series is a new concept. It comes from Ocean Realm Media, Richard Stewart. And Ocean Realm Media is the developer, the producer of an annual publication called the Ocean Realm Journal, a beautiful tabletop publication, photojournalists travel around the world, excellent publication. But it's very heavy, it's very expensive to produce, and the realization is that we're in a day and age when people are starting to be concerned about the number of trees that are being cut down and various elements of the environment. So the idea now is to become a little more conscious. The production of the book is still going to be once a year because there really needs to be that kind of pictorial demonstration of what's going on above and below the water. Serious issues that we're dealing with as people, such as shark finning. Did you know that we're still killing more than 100 million sharks a year? How long can that possibly go on? You know, it's going to impact the food chain if it's not already. You take the top predator out and something bad is going to happen. There's already certain types of jellyfish and things that are showing up in shallower water, partially because they're running out of food in the deeper water. We're killing loggerhead turtles as byproduct because we're dragging long lines and nets across the vast stretches of the ocean, killing everything that's in its path. That can't go on. That has to be something that's addressed. Well, coming up in November in Orlando, Florida, is the DEMA show, the Dive Equipment Marketing Association, and as an adjunct to that, there's a conference being planned called the State of the Oceans. And during that particular activity, the State of the Oceans will bring together some environmental organizations, some people who have an interest in talking about serious issues like shark finning, the demise of the loggerhead, the leatherback turtles. There's many other species that are in trouble and people who are trying to speak on behalf of those species. While we're still in the water, I've learned recently that there's another issue that is being dealt with in the Pacific and many of the very exotic islands. It has to do with the aquarium culture in the United States and certainly in other parts of the world. When you go into a person's home or a restaurant or a business and you see a beautiful aquarium, particularly if it's a saltwater aquarium, at the bottom of that tank is what's referred to as live rock. Well, live rock is, as it says, a rock with organisms on that. Well, it didn't occur to me because I'm not an aquarium person, but the bottom line to it is that people who are really into that like to have decorative ornamental rock, live rock, that comes from various parts of the world. each because of its geographical or geological rock base, things are a little bit different. Some of it's lighter, some of it not only in color but in weight. Some of it has a porous and lots of little holes and crevices and little caves in it for fish to go in and out of. So people in Fiji and Tonga and Bali are out in the shallow water with crowbars, ripping off big chunks of living coral rock, putting it into a container and shipping it to various distribution points. A container holds about 40,000 pounds of rock. Well, this is being removed from the infrastructure, from the ocean, the shallow water, the fringing reefs of these exotic destinations, and shipped to the United States, broken into smaller pieces, put in on display and sold to people who want them to decorate their aquarium. Well, in Isla Mirada, Florida, there's a live rock farm, if you will look at it that way, Live Rock USA, that is one of about 10 federally licensed businesses that can cultivate rock and make it into live rock, because almost anything put in the ocean will ultimately take on some kind of life form. And that rock could then be utilized, and for every pound of rock that comes out of Isla Mirada, Florida, from Live Rock USA, it replaces 1 pound of rock that isn't being ripped up from Fiji, Bali, or Tonga. But also found in the Caribbean, that's a problem. The country of Haiti, which has a serious ecological issue going on right now, deforestation. Another Blog Talk Radio program that I produce is for the organization called Operation Green Leaves. Every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Nadine Patrice, the executive director of Operation Green Leaves, is on with guests, and she talks with about environmental issues. And the fundamental purpose of the show is to talk about the deforestation of Haiti. That country has less than 1.5% of its original tree cover left, less than 1.5% of the tree cover. And every time it rains in the Caribbean, and it rains there quite frequently, particularly during this time of the year, the water washes down from the barren mountains into the valleys, floods the valleys and floods the towns. That's why the people die and they drown and the crops are covered up, because there's nothing that holds the soil in place. There's some local organizations and there is some activity, but nothing that is really taking hold, if you will. For 19 years, Nadine's been working on the message, you have to reforest Haiti. You have to plant trees. You have to recognize that an environmental disaster is on its way. Well, Saturday, 10 a.m., Blog Talk Radio, if you'd like to find out a little bit more about it, it's called Operation Green Leaves. You can check out online, oglhaiti.com. This is Ken English, and I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back and talk a little bit more about ecotourism and some of the other activities that are being covered by programs that I'm producing on blogtalkradio.com. This is a little piece of music from Mike Stewart, an excellent production facility or producer of music, a little bumper music in and out. Welcome back to Eco Lounge. This is Ken English. I'm in Miami, Florida, and over the course of a week, I cover a number of activities that are taking place, one of which is one of my favorite is what's called a gallery walk that takes place in Wynwood Art District and also the Miami Design District. It's on the second Saturday of each month, so it's not this coming week. It'll be the following Saturday. We'll be doing sections leading up to that, talking with various people in the Wynwood area. Now, I also like to talk about other things that are going on in the South Florida vicinity. So I follow the interests of and the activities of the Environmental Education Providers of Miami, EEPMiami.org. There's a lot of controversy, a lot of problems going on in Miami these days because of funding issues. The county government, Miami-Dade County government, has notified all of the cultural and the environmental organizations that it's been providing some funds to, that those funds are no longer available. So that means that every organization that's been doing community outreach doesn't have some of its money. For a few of those organizations, it almost is all of their money. So there's some serious issues that have to be addressed on a governmental level. We're going to do a number of things in the environmental area here, working with Richard Stewart, talking about eco-guides. I'm going to switch into that for just a minute. But if you check that online, ecoguides.info, ecoguides.info, you'll find out about the series of publications that are being produced. Volusia County in the state of Florida was the first one. The Volusia County Guide was really the test. Richard was talked to a number of the people in Volusia County, which is where Daytona is and Port Orange and New Smyrna Beach. And he got some interest from the New Smyrna Beach area to talk about the importance of the inland water system, kayaking, and all of those related activities. So that was the first of the publications. By attending adventure tourism and exhibiting at adventure tourism exhibitions in various places, he met some other people. And in the Florida Keys, there was a number of tourism activists, if you look at it that way, who said, we ought to have an eco guide to the Florida Keys. So that project is underway right now. It'll be wrapped up in the fall, and then the first printed version of the guide will come out probably at the end of the year. But online, there's information being posted, and this is really a combination activity of online marketing so that you can find things online, which is the most efficient and quickest way of doing it, but also backed up by a print publication that will be distributed at various trade shows and consumer activities so that people can have something tangible in their hands, but also in hotels so that when a guest goes into a hotel, they would be able to take advantage of what activities there are. There's also a number of other activities in the immediate area that we'll be talking a little bit about. But for right now, I'm going to do something that I like to do periodically, and this is a little memento for my friend Ray Pelletier, who passed away at the age of 57. It was done by Mick Rizzo, a good friend of his and mine, and it's just something to think about. I like to inject this in every now and then.
And I have a very simple philosophy. I believe that every single day of my life is January 1st. Moses got the Ten Commandments. I got the gift of January 1st. Now I call anything that happened in my life yesterday, good or bad, I call that December 31st. And God promised none of us a tomorrow.
Remember when I was young, so amused, time stood still. Love was all we knew. Remember when?
My priorities are simple. It's spiritual first, family second, business third. I want to make sure that I live to those. So in order to do that, you have to remind yourself of those.
Remember when?
I believe the best thing about falling flat on your face is you get a chance to get up, dust off, and keep on going. Let me start all over again. It's January 1st.
Life through curves, there was joy, there was hurt. Remember when?
It's not like you've ever crashed and burned in.
Tons and tons and tons. I have more experience in my life at failing than I do at winning.
Remember when?
But that's a great launching pad. I believe every single person listening to us knows what it's like to experience failure.
I'm absolutely touched in my life by being blessed to have had the parents that I had. So I'm very appreciative to my parents for setting and establishing a legacy in my own family. We have two magnificent children. Kimberly Faith is 25 years of age and Ray Jr. is 24. We all love each other. The first prayer that I pray in the morning is, Dear God, please let my life catch up to my mouth. The second is that I'll be able to walk my talk. I believe that every day of my life I'm going to meet an angel. I just don't know who the angel is. Perhaps it's a server at a hotel. Perhaps it's somebody that I interact with in my own office. Perhaps it's the printer. I don't know who the angel is. But I know that if I treat every single person as if they're the angel, by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm going to have gotten to the angel.
Remember when 30 seems so old now looking back. Just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been. Said we'd do it all again. Remember when?
Years ago, I heard a preacher say, expect a miracle today. I love that teaching. Expect a miracle today. And every day I expect a miracle. I have one life. And I recognize if you look at this life, I've got an option. And if my life's dream and mission, and those people listening to me need to know my vision for my life, is that I want people to say that I touched their life positively. Well, how in the world can I touch their life positively if I've copped out and I'm not positive? To whom much is given, much is required. Today's the day. It's January 1st. I truly believe that our life is God's gift to us. What we make our life is our gift back to God. God bless you, to you and your family.
We won't be sad, we'll be glad. For all the life we've had, and we'll remember when.
Ray Pelletier passed away at the age of 57, went into the hospital.
Remember when?
Had a blood clot. Remember when? Many of his friends, how fragile life is, how difficult it is to plan for the future. And that you better take advantage of things as they take place. I'm going to switch gears right now and talk with Richard Stewart. Richard, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ken.
How are you? How are you doing today? Is it raining in New Smyrna?
I'm in Ocala on my way over to New Smyrna. It has not started raining in this for the afternoon rain showers, but I'm heading back over there to do a little bit more work on the next run, the next edition of the EcoGuide Volusia, which we need. We're now adding all the Ormond Beach Tomoka Park kayaking to the guide.
Well, good. Well, take a couple minutes. I know that you're busy there, but I'm glad you had a chance to call in. Now, give a little history of the EcoGuide and then bring it up to date.
Well, we started the first eco guide, the Ocean Realm eco guide to New Smyrna Beach, was produced in this early this year, January, and the guide was so well received that we've now had to expand it. Not had to, but we're now expanding it to include all of Volusia, because we have everything from New Smyrna Beach over to DeLand on the St. John's River, a lot of nature tours. You know, we get the Tees over there and the springs, river, you know, the river with the boating, leisure boating. And then when you go further north up in the county, you have Ormond Beach area, and we have the Tomoka Park, which is just a beautiful wetlands area with bays and savannas and absolutely gorgeous, gigantic oak trees. Kayaking is just really beautiful through there. So we've expanded this first initial guide that we did to include the entire county. So it's now called EcoGuide Volusia. As a result of creating this first guide, the folks down in the Keys from Monroe County Tourism Development Council saw a copy of it during the Adventure Travel Expo, and they just loved it. And they said, oh, we're pushing the green movement here in the Keys in a major way, and we would love to have an eco guide. So since late March, myself and Christy Allen down in Key Largo, we have been working on Eco Guide Florida Keys, and we're about another two more months of work and production, and we'll be ready to go to press with that. So next week, I'll be, next Monday, I'll be heading back down to Key Largo to resume the Florida Keys work.
Now, you just came back from California and Arizona. You got a project, or you've been talking about some things out there as well.
Right. Well, we have launched the first West Coast project, which is the Eco Guide Catalina. We're scheduled to do a major push with the editorial and production side of it in September, during the month when the entire community of Avalon is doing a big promotional push on ecotourism. So that is being headed up by our regional publisher, Sherry Sabati. I did make a trip up to Ventura to take a look at what's going on around the Channel Islands, which are a set of four islands off of Ventura, Oxnard, and Santa Barbara. A beautiful place for kayaking and nature tours and hiking and camping and all sorts of activities, including things that they have in and around Ventura County itself. So later this year, after we get through the first phase of Eco Guide Catalina, then we will move our attention over to the Ventura area for the Eco Guide Channel Islands. We are looking into creating our first statewide guide that's not water related or water activity, aquatic activities, more of outdoor activities, and that is a guide that we would do in Arizona. So we're looking at those possibilities now. That would not be a project that we would start until spring of 2010. We have several other things going on here in the state of Florida that we want to stay on top of, and not to forget that we're looking at the Eco Guide Miami-Dade. I believe that even though it's a major metropolis, I think there's so much to offer on the western fringes of the county, and of course the waterfront aspect of it as well, and that Eco Guide could do well there in promoting ecotourism.
Well, I've been talking with a fellow by the name of David Brown, who I had hoped he was going to call in today, but there was a family funeral, so he said that might impact it, and apparently it has. But he's been doing some ecotourism. He's an environmental by training and education, and he's a combination of urban tourism, inner city stuff. There's a historical bent to all communities. And then he's also got tours of the Everglades, so he'll be a good ally. You know, we'll get him on the show maybe next week and talk a little bit more about that. But what about the snorkel guide? You told me that you got something working for a snorkel guide.
Yes, we've come to a working agreement with Nestor Palmero, who is the vice president of National Geographic Snorkeler, which is the branding of snorkel gear for National Geographic. And what we're going to be doing is publishing a guide that is called Snorkeler Destinations. So it will be a vehicle to promote and to help people find the top 50 snorkeling destinations around the world, you know, the best places to go. I mean, obviously snorkeling is an activity you can just do anywhere, from the pool to the lake to the river to any beach along the coast. But you know, there are some most incredible pristine reefs and areas that are teeming with really beautiful, fish, marine life. And these are the kind of places that we want to point out to people who are looking to take their next vacation, and for them to consider making that decision based on where they're going to be able to have a great snorkeling experience. And so the average person who is not a scuba diver and maybe not even a snorkeler yet, who thinks about doing snorkeling, trying snorkeling, they're not going to have really much of an idea where to go. They might say, well, we're going to you know, such and such destination, and we're going to be near the beach, and we'll go snorkeling there, and they can do that, of course. But, you know, like many of these destinations that they'll go to will have great beaches, and great beaches have sandy bottoms and not necessarily nearby reefs. So we thought it would be a good idea to produce a book that pointed out the top destinations in the world and some of the beaches and some of the reef areas and that are accessible by snorkelers, you know, where they don't necessarily need to use a boat or have to go out on a charter. So that's the premise behind putting this together, is a guide to help people who are getting into snorkeling and getting out on their leisure travel and having a snorkeling experience.
Well, I think that's a wonderful concept, and it's really the precursor to people getting involved in scuba diving. Mentioning scuba diving, coming up in November in Orlando is the international gathering, DEMA, Dive Equipment Marketing Association. One of the problems within the dive industry is attrition, that you know, more people are retiring from the sport than are going into it, although there are still you know, thousands of people getting certified. But the basics, people start as a snorkeler, so that would be a very good thing. We're going to be developing a show that will focus on DEMA coming up. Probably launch that in a couple weeks or so. But Peter Symes, the publisher of X-Ray Magazine, which is a digital publication, and you have been talking about working together. Maybe I know it's a lot of concept right now, but touch on what you think is going to happen for the DEMA show.
Okay, yeah. Let me get into DEMA through the snorkeling program, because this is a very interesting point to make. The snorkeler market is about 1,000 times the potential growth of the scuba market. And the scuba market is not tiny. It's about a 5 million people participation. But as you said, the industry has sort of slowing down in a sense, because we're looking at the tried and true old timers that have been in the business for the last 20, 30 years. We're all getting up there in our age, and we don't have the numbers in terms of the youth following our footsteps, so to speak. And, you know, DEMA has a great program, which is called Become a Diver. It used to be called Try Scuba. And they run around the country to about 30 different events and shows, and they let people get in a pool with scuba gear. And it's a great opportunity to show people in a controlled environment how simple it is essentially to get into this gear and breathe off a regulator. But where they've missed the boat over the last two decades is not putting any emphasis in snorkeling. And one of the reasons is because obviously the retail stores and the educational organizations can earn more income by pushing people into scuba right away, as opposed to getting them into a lesser expensive and procedural process of becoming a snorkeler. But what they fail to understand is that when you get people into snorkeling and they have a good experience and they put their face in the water and they see the amazing things that is under the water, that is the next incentive for getting them to want to try scuba. So we, that would be Nestor Palmero and I and his group and our group have talked about a number of things. And we believe that somewhere along the line, there needs to be some kind of a tri-snorkeling program as well. And National Geographic Snorkeler is now also going to be involved in the Adventure Travel Expo as a sponsor. And we worked on that arrangement this last week. And whether or not they will be able to do anything in water or not is hard to say, because obviously DEMA already has their Become a Diver pool there, but we are hoping that we might be able to convince them to allow us to have every couple hours an opportunity to put people in the water, just to put mask and fin on, so they can get an idea of what it feels like. You know, the worst experience you can have in becoming a new snorkeler is to put the mask on, it's not fitting, to not have the snorkel positioned properly so that it's free of water entering the snorkel. And to get in the water, put your face down, and suck up a mouthful of water that pretty much ends the experience. So it does need a small amount of, not training, but a little bit of pointers on how to adjust the masks and so on. So we're hoping that we can see some kind of a program in 2010 that might be, to coin the phrase, try snorkeling. As far as what Peter and X-Ray and Ocean Realm are doing, we are finding that the markets that we serve are distinctively different with a small amount of crossover. Peter's publication, which is all online, reaches a significant international market, and also, believe it or not, quite a few U.S. readers as well. I think 40% of his total downloadable circulation is in the United States. Whereas Ocean Realm, our online publications, obviously certainly is available to anybody on the international front, but the publication, the hard copy collector's editions, are distributed primarily in the U.S. To a somewhat upscale market. So we looked at those two publications and realized that we had a group product that the destination advertisers and product advertisers could find to be very attractive if we bundle it together and offered it at a special price. So now we now have the snorkeler destinations to put into that bundle, and we are also in the process of producing an industry directory for the Dive Industry Association, and that will also be in the bundle. Now, this allows the advertiser to reach an international market, a national market, a leisure travel market through the snorkeler destinations, and then the retailers who sell snorkeling gear, sell destinations, sell scuba through the industry association directory. So essentially we're now formulating our plan on how to make the presentation and how to get the information out to the market for this four publication bundle.
Well, certainly I would suggest, and I know that you hear this from me all the time, but the internet radio, the fifth part of the bundle. Today, when I did the show this morning for the hypnotist group, the guest caller was in southern France, and she had a friend of hers who acknowledged through the chat window he was listening in Australia. The show is routed through New York. The host was in Orlando, and I'm in Miami. So if there's any form of international communication, social media-wise, I mean, I know you're on Facebook. We're doing some Twitter stuff. All of which can be talked about. In the fascinating part, you know, and I'm saying this to anybody who listens, not so much to you directly, but you have an opportunity to talk your way to the top on Google, because this platform, Blog Talk Radio, is considered an authority site by the search engines and the way they rank and index information. So it's just a wonderful tool that, as part of a package, makes things go really well. So I know you're busy. We're running out of time here. So if there's anything you'd like to just summarize with, and then we'll pick this up again next week, and maybe we'll get that Eco Guide to the Florida Keys back on the air.
Yeah, Christy and I are eager to get around and see some of our sponsors and have some chats with them to get on our Blog Talk Radio. And as far as the Blog Talk process with the bundle, we absolutely want to include something like that. What we're trying to sort of ascertain is each title, though, is broad enough that anybody can enjoy reading it. It is also somewhat specific. So if we did some radio programs like this, we would want to focus on a Blog Talk for snorkel destinations, where we talk about specifically snorkeling and stuff like that. And we have talked with Gene Machansky about doing an industry Blog Talk, and I think that he'll be up for that after he gets through his quite busy summer. He's been really busy running around, especially participating in a couple of scuba challenges down in Cozumel. So we need to explore those things more. But even more, most important is we need to be sure that we can assign some of these shows to people that are part of this group and rely on them to be participating so that it's not just you or myself or Peter.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the essential part is to get some people, just like you have regional publishers in the various areas, we need to have some people who have an interest in broadcasting because technically that's what this is. You know, and it just has a little bit of a different reach and a different approach to things. But anyway, if people wanted to get in touch with you, Richard, how would they do so?
My primary contact is through the main company, Ocean Realm Media, which is Richard at OceanRealmMedia.com. And, of course, my phone is always available at 352-817-5893 for anybody who might have an interest in participating in any of the four publications or maybe be interested in having some information published about them, feature stories, etc. So, yeah, we welcome anybody who has an interest in one of the four areas of our titles to give us a call.
All right, Richard, thank you very much for your time. Have a safe trip. And it's raining in Miami, so I don't know whether it's going north or south, but it's Florida. It's probably going to rain later, isn't it?
Always around 3:00 in Central Florida.
Just stay out of the traffic at that point. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye now. This is Ken English. That was Richard Stewart, the publisher of Ocean Realm Journal, a tabletop publication, an annual guide, and also the Eco Guide series, ecoguides.info. You can check it out online. We'll be talking with Richard more in the future about different publications. He'll be down in the Florida Keys next week. We'll be resuming that particular show on Blog Talk Radio. And as he mentioned, I'm working on the concept of putting something together for Miami-Dade County. We'll be talking with David Brown next week, I guess. Obviously, didn't make it today. So we'll be talking with him about his role in ecotourism in the Miami area. Also be talking with other people in the tourism industry, because when you think of Miami and Miami-Dade County, Miami Beach, you don't think of environmental tourism or ecotourism. You tend to think of nightclubs and restaurants and hotels and conventions, and certainly land aside, the restaurant activities, the fashion, all of which has been wonderful marketing efforts to position Miami as an urban destination. But offshore, underwater, there's artificial reefs that attract scuba divers when they know about it. There's a vibrant scuba diving market in the Miami area. There's nothing, though, in the shallow water, no snorkeling near land. And that's a project that I've been talking about, and maybe we could resurrect it through the Eco Guide series. There is the world's only underwater margarita bar in 20 feet of water, about 200 yards east of Nikki Beach. Now, if you checked out Nikki Beach, NIKKIBEACH.com, you'll find one of the most dynamic of the waterside club environments here in the Miami Beach area. But on the east side of that is in the water is a 22-ton concrete margarita bar. You can find out more about that by going to miamibeachdiving.com. Anyway, this is Ken English. It's been a great day. We talked about a few programs that I'm involved with. Check out blogtalkradioguy.com. Or if you'd like to do your own program and learn how to do it, check out blogtalkradiomadeeasy.com. And I guess if you really want more general information about me, check out EnglishPublishing.com. This is Ken English, the Blog Talk Radio Guy. Have a great day. I'll be back next week, but I'll be back on several occasions with other programs as well. But noon on Wednesday, Eco Lounge. From Miami, Florida, wishing you the best. And remember something I've learned from the hypnotist show. Everything begins with a thought. Your subconscious is so important. You program yourself positively and good things happen. Program yourself negatively and not so good things happen. I'll be back next week.